So I get invited to go to the Braemont kind of, I don't know what the night is called. It's kind of a night in London where you get, well, accidentally get to meet some incredible people. I've been talking about adventures. I've been talking about international travel. Obviously, I've been talking about watches because we're here right next door to Braemont. And I've just bumped into who?
Gary Connery.
And it's kind of weird because somebody points over and goes, oh, did you used to do stunt work? And I'm like, I did kind of basic stunt work, exhibition bungee jumping. That guy over there, he's the first guy to ever jump in a wingsuit and not pull a parachute. And I'm like, and he's alive? Tell me about it.
Yeah, so I've now been coined, or the phrase has been coined, as Gary Connery, the Braemont wingman. And so basically what happened was I first jumped on a wingsuit from an aircraft about 8 years ago. And with my stunt background, I do stunts for TV and film, I realised straight away that if I can fly this wingsuit properly, I can actually land the wingsuit in cardboard boxes. A lot of the way that stunts are done in TV and film, i.e. falling stunts, and to break the fall is with cardboard boxes. So straight away I thought, you know, I know what to do here. And so, cutting a very long story short, I basically did an 8-month training plan, set a date for when I wanted to do it, and worked towards that date. Did a whole bunch of skydives, developed a new wingsuit with Tony Araghello of Tony Suits, got involved with Braemont, who helped with the sponsorship, and they collectively helped me achieve my goal. And ultimately, that was to jump from 2,400 feet from a helicopter. We had 18,600 boxes set up in a field that was essentially full of cow dung. I could have said a far ruder word there, but held back. So, a very messy field. And I jumped from 2,400 feet, flew 3/4 of a mile across ground, and ultimately landed in these cardboard boxes without deploying a parachute.
Was the height specifically chosen because of the amount of speed you would have built up?
No, the speed would have remained the same. That's a very good question. A couple of reasons why it was 2,400 feet. Firstly, that was the ceiling that we could go to because of the proximity to Heathrow. Secondly, and funnily enough, the same dimensions were an area that I'd been training in Wallenstadt in Switzerland. So where I jump from in Switzerland, it's 2,400 vertical feet to the opening of a gorge that, when you fly into the opening, the mouth of this gorge, you've basically flown 2,400 feet vertical and 3/4 of a mile. So the geometry, I basically took the geometry from Wallenstadt and created that in Henley.
So you created your training ground.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
I've seen some of the videos from that gorge. My heart is in my throat when I think about it. What kind of speed were you doing?
When I landed, I was just under 70 mile an hour. However, I'd always intended being probably 10 mile an hour slower than that. But the thing was, all of my training had been done to really find the slowest speed I could. And so what one does is jumps out of the aircraft or jumps off a cliff and really just finds a position that's a very floaty position just on the edge of stall, which any airline pilot will tell you, they always land their airline just on the edge of stall. So you're right on the cusp of crashing out of the sky, really.
Well, they don't tell me that, obviously, because I'm a passenger.
Well, yeah, for sure. I guess they don't tell anybody that, but I know that. And but because on the day I had to be very accurate and specifically hit my target, what we decided to do was pull the helicopter forward a little bit. So actually I came in on a slightly steeper flight. With a steeper flight, obviously you've got a little bit more speed. But I was able to basically flare it out and ultimately landed just under 70 miles an hour.
Now, I've done a couple of box jumps myself, and they're designed to be compressed from above, really, and absorb the impact. How did they work as you came in at speed?
Do you know what? The boxes worked in much the same way as you've just spoken about. Boxes are full of air. Whichever side you hit them from, or whichever angle you hit them from, they're going to collapse and the air dissipates. So whether I came in perpendicular, i.e., falling from above, or coming in at an angle, they were going to work.
Oh, well, I'm glad they did, because we're having this conversation. What other stuff do you do? I mean, do you specialise now on wingsuit work?
Not specifically wingsuit work. I don't know if when you got introduced to me by Sarah, she'd also told you something else. I was the guy that jumped at the Olympics dressed
you
as the Queen.
Him. Insane. So obviously your CV now says likes to dress in royal drag.
Well, this is it. I don't just specialise in wingsuit flying. I specialise in dressing up as an 86-year-old in drag. Yes.
How many jumps do you have to do to get to this kind of level, or just are some people just naturals?
Yeah, I never really believe in numbers. I believe in what you do with the numbers that you have done. So in other words, I mean, some people can do thousands of jumps and pretty much achieve nothing because they don't experiment with their bodies every time they jump out. They may just jump out, fall towards earth, deploy a parachute and land. I specifically, every time I get out of an aircraft, I do something different. So I'm trying to learn exactly what it is I can achieve with my body or whatever other material in this case I might be jumping with, and so I'm always learning. So it's not about numbers.
Listening to you now reminds me of one of my stunt idols from my childhood, and that was Dar Robinson. He was very, very keen on creating this kinesthetic sense, knowing exactly where he was in whatever position. Who was your stunt idol?
That's
mentor.
That's a good question, and in truth I never had I've never had a hero. I suppose I've always aspired to be myself. I suppose as a result of the Olympics and having met Seb Coe on two occasions during that time, I actually realised that when I was a kid sat watching World Championships or Olympics, the athletic side of things, whenever I saw Seb Coe racing against the likes of Steve Ovett or Steve Cram, I was always shouting for Seb Coe. And something lovely happened. I'd met Seb in a very early meeting relating to the Olympics, probably in February, March time, when I really had to sell the idea to him that what we were going to do was achievable. And then I didn't see him again until he came out of a very high-pressured meeting late at night in the week building up to the Olympics, so somewhere between the 20th of July and the 27th of July. So it was probably 3 or 4 months on, and he came straight out of that meeting. We caught one another's eye. He came straight over and he said, "Gary, how are you doing?" And to me, that meant so much, because there was that realization that actually you're the guy that I used to watch and look up to. And he remembered me like that. And he must have met thousands of people relating to that. And he remembered my name.
That's a hell of a skill as well, because I'm not particularly good at that kind of thing. So what have you got next?
That's a really good question. I mean, I've got a bunch of stuff planned. It's all down to money. Braemont are helping me out. They always do. Good question. I'm trying to put together funding for a world record and world first series. So obviously the wingsuit landing has been a world first. I've got a bunch of other ideas. They're not top secret, but you know, hopefully we can get the funding in place and I can pull them off, because I'm very aware I'm not getting any younger. The sooner we can do it, the better. I'm sure it won't be long before the kids at Christmas are buying me some slippers and a rug and a little bit of tobacco to go in a pipe that I don't smoke.
You know, you don't look broken and twisted. I mean, you must have broken a few bones.
Truthfully, no. I suppose I'm quite good at the job, and so I've managed to get away with it.
Or you're not pushing hard enough.
Well, yeah, maybe that's the good.
Here's a man that doesn't open a parachute. Well, massive respect. Can people find you anywhere online?
Yeah, I mean, you can go. You can follow me on Twitter, Gary Connery. I'm on Facebook. You can find me there again, Gary Connery. You'll know it's me because my profile picture is me dressed up as the Queen under a Union Jack parachute. Go to my website, Gary Connery.
Thank you very much, Gary. Have a good night.
Cheers. Thank you.